Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have a special guest for you this evening, Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio. He's also the leader of the new California 51st State Movement. And they've got an important court case coming up, and I think the enormity of it will surprise everybody. So I think you're going to really enjoy what you get here. You're going to find this very, very productive. And I can't wait to hear what Paul has to say on these important topics. Before we join Paul, very quickly here, listen, they're coming at us in tsunamis. They will take away everything you have. And I'm telling you, if you don't have food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools, you're going to have a problem. Get your supply of food now from My Patriot Supply. Do not let any more time go by. I did a 10-part look at the food supply, and what I can tell you is three of the threats are in motion right now to take away your private food. So go to foodwithdave.com, and there's a great sale on right now. Check it out, foodwithdave.com. And if you have food, you better have water filtration. We've seen the attacks on the grids, nine of them in about 3.5 weeks. So go to waterwithdave.com. Same deal, low prices, great sale. The number one filter in the country, and the research is published at waterwithdave.com. Those are the two sponsors we have for this show. Paul, welcome to the show. And man, this could be monumental, what we're going to talk about here, because I'm not getting anything about this in the media. Even alternative media seems to not be covering what New California is up to. So I'll just kind of hand it off to you and let you tell the people.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, Dave. This is really a wonderful experience to be back with you. And but we had
My pleasure.
filed an amicus or an amicus brief with the Brunson brothers, and we filed this in good faith. And of course, we actually asked the Brunson brothers, and I didn't know that that's one of the instructions that when you're going to file an amicus in the court is you ask the party, the plaintiff party. Or the defendant, if you can, they want you to. And it's always best to do that. You don't have to, but they ask you to do that as a cordial to the other parties. And then this is the thing that is really, I think, the most interesting thing is this degree of, or one of the things is this degree of cordiality that goes on the Supreme Court amongst the parties. But of course, the issue at hand here is what is Brunson all about? And Brunson all about basically is about what happened on January 6th, 2021, and how Michael Pence comported himself as the vice president in the counting of the electoral ballots. And this is what really set the stage that really has the Brunsons really making progress in the court here, that he's having this heard.
Can
The
you take a
Brunsons.
second, Paul, and just tell him very quickly what the Brunson case is about generally?
That's what I'm going to do right now. The Brunsons looked at the case and they said that there's got to be a better angle than attacking it from a standpoint that this is about an election. And of course, what they said was, let's take a look at something called their oath of office and what was an event that maybe detracted and from their oath of office, causing them to violate their oath of office. And of course, the event was that they had improperly and did not listen to the advice that was being given to them by members of Congress, about 121 of them, who said, election fraud here. We have clear evidence. We have affidavits. There's election fraud. We need to have a 10-day pause put on this counting so that we can go forward and say, go back to our states and say, what is the problem here? And of course, Michael Pence did not do that, nor did anybody else. They plowed through it. The petitions, they ignored everything that was coming. Andy Biggs, of course, led it on the Senate or the House of Representatives, and Ted Cruz is on the Senate side, but they completely ignored that, blew that off, and then people actually voted for it, and they contend that was a vote that should never have happened. So when they did that, the people that voted for it violated their oath of office because it was fraudulent. And doing a fraud is a violation of your office, especially the commission of your actual duties. That is a felony. Now, the other part of that is that doesn't not only do the oath of office open that up, but it also opens up these people's further investigation about what they have been a party to in this whole process. So the door just opens up, and this is what they've done. Now, they got a number of these people that that claim that they violated their oath of office. The people have not responded, but the Brunsons have persevered. They opened up the court case in Utah and ended up by circuitous fashion to get into the Supreme Court. They're all pro se. They don't have an attorney that represents them. And so as a result, they ended up getting there. And it was on the notion that the oath of office was violated by 388 members of Congress and the executive branch, including Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and Michael Pence. And, of course, the result of that violation, they would be removed from office forthwith. The marshals would show up and take them and escort them out of Washington. And the justices could make a 9-0 decision and go along with that. And that would mean these people would be subject to a further investigation for various charges and crimes. They'd get fines. They'd never get office again. Some of the crimes that they would be associated with would be sedition and treason. Real simple. Life and death things. Now, the process to fully inform them about this, they actually had to serve all 388 people with the U.S. Marshals. And, of course, now we know what they did, how they did it. It's kind of interesting, that whole thing. We couldn't figure out how that one's going on. They figured it out. And anyway, but we now know how to do that if we want to serve our local, Alex Padilla, as an example. But we, anyway, so they now have opened themselves up to these big charges. They got served papers, and they're not happy. They got served papers twice, actually, and they're not happy about it. You may have heard that Michael Pence actually recanted his position about 4 months ago and said, maybe I was just acting a little bit wrong and shouldn't have done that. Well, he already knew what was in the wind with this lawsuit. So you have a lot of people now that have been served these papers. They're trying to blow it off like it's no big deal. Not a good idea for them to blow it off. And that's not a big deal, because it is a very big deal, a very big deal. Now, we know it's a big deal because it has something to do with our original case that we filed against Gavin Newsom, Shirley Weber, and Alex Padilla, who was the Secretary of State of California at the time, in which none of the ballots, except for a few precincts in Los Angeles, were printed according to what the Constitution of the state of California requires. And it was, in fact, it was all over the map. They left out very important information on how to vote for the president and vice president in almost all the counties. So California, we thought, had violated the spirit of the law, obviously. And at the time when we were doing this lawsuit, they hadn't litigated a case that came down in Superior Court that said it was unconstitutional to use mail-in ballots. And, of course, in the fashion that they were using it for. That decision came out the day before the election, which is problematic.
I want to stop there just for a second to analyze this. What specifically was wrong in the court's opinion with mail-in ballots? I think this is a big lesson for all of us.
You name it. They were unaccountable. They had all the reasons that we've been talking about. It was our Superior Court. It's about half a mile from my house here. Here in Sutter County, that came up with that. They did it all right there. We actually attended. The New Californians were all over the courthouse at the time, encouraging Kevin Kiley, who's now from the 3rd District of California. He won, became the 12th member of Congress from California as a Republican out of 52 counties, I might add. So 40 other Democrats are occupying seats. Seems a little bit imbalanced, especially with California being such a conservative county. Obviously, that's the election system. But all the things that you can think of, chain of custody was a big one. That was a big issue. The other part of it was just the sheer nature of this. Now, this is important. It's the legislature that has complete control over what happens with elections. It's that way in all states. And, of course, what happened was on March 4, 2020, the Newsom, at the time being governor, he worked it out with the legislature for them to surrender their powers and give all powers to him as the executive to act on the COVID situation, well, that spilled off into everything else. Effectively, he became a dictator. And so that was the other thing, that no way, because he was the executive, could he order mail-in ballots to be sent out, printed and then sent out without the legislature's approval. And the legislature never gave him that approval. He just usurped it and did it. And of course, the legislature, after the election, came back and retroactively approved it. That's what they did.
Okay.
Retroactively approved it.
Does this have application for the rest of the country, in your opinion, this one part?
Absolutely it does. Now, they appealed this case, and the appellate court of the Superior Court agreed with Newsom that it was okay for him to do that. This is the way the court system is in California. It's like Arizona. It's corrupt.
Well, exactly. It's no different anywhere. So
right.
Exactly right. Okay, so where does it go from here?
Well, where it goes from here is it's kind of interesting. When we filed our amicus brief, back in November, I think November 4th. Interestingly enough, we to follow this history, because in the case of the Brunsons, when they filed, they did not think they were going to get to the Supreme Court, and they did some things behind the scenes, but ultimately they got in the Supreme Court. And once there, the clerks, you know, kind of kept on nudging them along about what to do and how to do things, which is pretty interesting. And that whole thing, that the support that they're basically being supported, that encouraged to file documents this, document that, and so on. So they were quite encouraged by that. I'm not necessarily encouraged. I think it's interesting. But so they filed everything, got everything that they had there. So we go, I say to my lawyer, I said, you know, this is us in a different degree. If we do amicus, we get in amicus, and then the Supreme Court can weigh in on what we have, which is, of course, the situation with the ballots all being, you know, screwed up. And so we could hook onto that. So we filed our amicus. The court was very congenial. The clerks, all, yes, bring it, bring it, bring it. So we filed them electronically. Everything was put up electronically. Now, come to find out, they made their decision on Friday. When they made their decision as to what they're going to do, now they can either, and they were going to announce it on Friday. Now, it's interesting, they did not announce it on Friday. They waited until Monday to announce it, because what was going on Friday? All the chaos in the House, right? So they decided to wait until Monday or Tuesday. So what that meant was they automatically rejected our amicus. Now, they rejected it on the grounds, this is after they made the decision, I might add, I hold on to that. They didn't do it, or we even, you know, you would think that if we file it late, the clerks are going to reject it, right? And they won't even be seen publicly or anything. That didn't happen. They not only did they do that, they insisted that they put up our amicus, and then we had a router to go with it. But they insisted, we want your stuff paper bound, documented, blah blah blah. Send it to us, which we did. We hurried up and did that. We got that in there, and then after the decision, they notified on by way of the website that our documents were rejected outright, because it was a timing issue. We should have filed on November 24th, which we did not know. We had no idea about that. But it's not necessarily a failure. We have a real feeling that they have to take up the issue, the Supremes do. They have to take up the issue of oath of office. They're very squarely confronted with this, Dave, in this case. And if they don't, I'll tell you what, we don't have a country any longer.
You're talking about the judicial betrayal, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If they don't take this up based upon just the oath of office, it's over. It's over. O-V-E-R.
Yeah, I hear you.
I just don't think we're going to recover from that. And it's also a sign that, you know, the Roberts and everybody else who have been, what's the word I'm looking for? They were being basically bribed because of their situations and, you know, Jezebel, or the, what do you call it, island, Epstein Island business. I think that that's going to ruin the country. I really do. I think, and I don't think you can get anywhere. It also signals that they're not going to try to do anything with the Dominion machines to stop them.
Boy.
The circus like you just had out, out in Arizona.
Well, yeah, I talked to Sheriff Mack about that the other day here recently, and Tom Rentz, too. And I asked them both the same question. I said, why is it that these judges keep making corrupt and just nonsense rulings just to preserve illegal elections that are clearly proven, even by the election workers themselves? And
right.
The answer I got from both is that to admit there's corruption in the elections undoes the whole system of corruption, and that whole system of corruption
right.
basically comes back to all the judges that are on the take, too. Do you agree
yeah.
with that?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, a classic example, what we say out here in California, see, this is why we say this. We see this out here in California that nobody in our state legislature wants to talk about anything now. They're just happy being there. And, of course, what that means is they're benefiting from an election system in which they have been pre-selected to be there. And they get told what to say and do and what to vote on and what not to vote on. And they do it, and that's like a job. that's what happens. It's a perfect communist system with the elections and the corruption. But I would absolutely, with Rentz and Mack, absolutely 100% agree. They're beholding. You saw this. Everybody that was in that room, for the most part, now, there's places where there's patchwork, as you know, the elections run pretty good, you know, Florida and Texas. In other states, but they don't run all that good because, for the most part, you know, they've tried to Californicate the whole nation now, and this was their biggest attempt here. So there are some people that are there elected freely and fairly as they should be, and they should be proud of that. But for the most part, especially on the Democrat side, especially all 40 of the Democrats, I can prove today, all 40 of the Democrats of California got in there fraudulently. Fraudulently, no question about it.
What was the process, Paul?
Well, the process, obviously, is setting up the algorithms beforehand. They do this. There's a cartel system. The cartel system in California operates out of San Diego. It's a plaza system, as they call it, and where they modified the primaries to where you have basically a primary in which the top two people are selected, and they go on to the general election regardless of party. Now that's a selection process is really key to it all, because they can stack up and load up as many people as they want in the primary, and they do. The corrupt system of employees or workers around the election or around the candidates that are being paid by the cartel a flat rate of a lot of money. And then, of course, the candidates will actually pay these campaign advisors additional money, so they make additional money. But they regulate who's going to be winning and who's going to be showing off and who's going to be the prime candidate, the flower and fluff of it all, you know, to look good, pretty face and all that. But if they're a Democrat, you know, and if they've got kind of connection, you know they're going to win, because they always win. Democrats almost always win in California now. And usually they win by a very consistent 70% to 30% for the Republicans, 70% for the Democrats, which, you know, there's an algorithm at work there. Anytime you fractionate a ballot, you know that the corruption's on.
What do you mean by fractionate? I know what you mean, but tell the audience what you mean by fractionate.
When you go in to vote, you know, you have your ballot. That has a value of one. Okay, the number one. All right, you get it? So now what happens inside of a computer is you can take that value of one and fractionate it into 100 parts, right? Because it takes 100 of something to make one. You know, it's 0.1 100 times is one, the number one. You get it. So if you have 30 of those 0.1s or 0.3 and you subtract that from the one, you get 70% or 0.7 left. Now, that's exactly what we call fraction. What they do is you're wandering around and you got 0.3, where's that going? Well, that gets put over to the other candidate. And that's what they did with Biden. They had a formula, an algorithmic formula. They ran it in all the machines. And it's a complete, very sophisticated system in the machines that they use. But they ran it in the machines. And the algorithm for this presidential election, it was one point, just listen to this, Trump got 0.7 of every vote. He got 7. So all his votes were 0.7, 70%. And the other 30% went to Joe Biden. So Joe Biden, every time he got a vote, it was 1.3 of a vote. So you can see that every other vote, he's getting 2, and Trump is getting less than 2. And of course, that number over millions changes everything. And the key to it is to be able to control every machine and every precinct so that they get those values they want that are fractionated values now, not whole numbers, will be achieved. And they've got modems inside the machines. You can take your cell phones, you can stand outside, and you can manipulate who's getting what votes. They oftentimes do. Sometimes they have to change up and do a different type of algorithm based upon the candidate and what's going on. We've got about a dozen algorithms that we use to look at this. Dr. Shiva is the one who found it. Dr. Shiva, when he found it, our guys got all this and started popping out the numbers. You know, one of the things that happened here recently was this moment of truth with Mike Lindell. I was there to report on California. I was bumped, and they put another person to give the numbers for California, and the numbers were bogus. They're a flat-out lie. And so we always correct the record that what the characters that came in and kind of hijacked the system, not a reflection on Liddell. There was enough security issues going on, and he had his hands full, you could tell. But the bottom line is they lied to the public about even remotely what it was, and they stuck to some fictitious numbers that don't even reflect it. Donald Trump, when he got in California, won by 15,800,000 votes against Joe Biden's 4 million. That's how deep this was out here in California for Donald J. Trump. And now, of course, we have Gavin Newsom and the whole, they use the same algorithm for the presidential race that they use for his recall. And we have backtracked the fraud. There's it's still going on. We accused a whole bunch of people in the county clerk reporters of fraud, and you know, Dave, our accusations have stuck. We've served declarations on them. We're having investigations. So far, out of the county clerk recorders, we've got 20 of them that have resigned, left, or did not run for office again. Some of them, when we presented the truth to them about their own numbers in their own county, they left in 3 days. They left because they knew they were caught. And they work. And we can catch any politician at this, including all the things with Katie Hobbs. We've run the Katie Hobbs numbers. She was crushed. There was nothing remotely.
How bad did Kerry Lake beat Katie Hobbit?
About 70 to 30.
That's what I thought.
70-30. Yeah, it wasn't even close. Now, we would really like to get with Kerry Lake defense team, or the team, and lay these numbers out in front of them so that they're more astute next time when they go to court, to be able to just basically look at the facts, the basic facts, get back to thinking about numbers and whole numbers. But on your ballot there, you know, your mining instructor or whatever he was, that's the first number because nobody ran against him. He got 1.6 plus million votes in Arizona. Well, wait a minute. Kerry Lake only got 1.2. Now, last I checked, I looked at your ballot. Your mining guy was at the very bottom of the ballot. Kerry Lake was all the way at the top. And then also you had your treasurer got 1.6.
Yeah, so I got to say this about the state mining inspector. Because the person ran unopposed, most people or some people would be inclined not even to vote because the issue's decided.
Right.
So how many more votes did the mining inspector get in their election than the governor's election?
400,000 more.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense, just on the face of it. And when you, so if you were to really do the right thing, break out the real numbers, count them, of course, now they have a phalanx of people who won't let you even look at them to count them. And that's that whole corrupt system there. You have a Maricopa from your sheriff to all the way down. When they took out Ohio, that was the turning point. They could not have Trump. And now you've got, who's your Secretary of State now? What's his name?
Okay, we know who he is, Fontes.
Fontes?
Yeah.
Well, you're Fontes. My prediction is that Hobbs will move on to the federal level, and he'll come in and be your governor in 6 months. 6 months. That's
You're
because he's a cartel guy.
no.
He's a cartel guy. Come on.
Well, I know that. You've told me that. Others have told me that too. But here's the deal. I don't see Hobbit moving on because she's not qualified to do anything. And the other thing is too, her husband has a very lucrative practice at Phoenix Children's
Yeah, it's pretty
Hospital.
well poised penises. I get it.
Yeah, he cuts off kids' genitals. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Listen, these are non-human beings. But listen, she's perfect to go into the Biden administration to be a do nothing, know nothing, like a Buttigieg. That's what she would do. She said they're gonna hide her, which is exactly what they want to do because now she's got the governorship. Now all she needs to do is go away, and who's gonna send there is Fontes, and of course he's totally cartel. You know that. And the cartel wants him there. Cartels are buying up your real estate like crazy, I hear. And I really hear something that's really disturbing is that now the Russians are giving heavy equipment, heavy weapons to the cartels at the American border. Did you know that?
Yes.
And that is really disturbing because, what, and the reason is that, well, wait a minute, the Americans are out there, firing missiles and killing all of our Russians. In Ukraine, well, guess what? We're going to show up with our heavy weapons and do some killing inside America. That's the rationale as it explained to me by my military people in the last couple of days. And they're down there. Now, you guys, all of us have a problem. Because, if they pull off their little coup by basically getting in a lot of APCs or even light armor, they could be in San Francisco in hours. They'll take over Phoenix. They'll go right up into Flagstaff and take that over, which, by the way, is becoming really a hot spot for cartels in Flagstaff. So that's why I say that what needs to happen, and I mean this in all sincerity, I'm really glad I'm on your show. You need to start a new Arizona movement, and that needs I need people names. Let's get started because they fear what we are doing out here in a big way. And we need to do something to push back, and I think we can do something in Arizona. Just the sheer notion of starting a new Arizona. And look, hey, look at your you got 6 out of 9 Republicans in Congress. My bottom line is you actually got 9 if you do the numbers. Again, once again, there was 17% of Democrats voted in your election. What is up with that, Dave? I mean, you could see this is obvious. That they're manipulating everything. And if they won't allow it, they're corrupt. And everybody has to, I think, come to an agreement on that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not going to happen. Hey, do you have any idea how the corrupt judges get paid off?
Yeah, usually in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies.
So it's untraceable.
Yeah, well, Dave, I know that 5 years ago I gave you Bitcoin, and I paid 10 cents for it, and I know you turned it in, but you don't know that. So it just popped in your hands, right? That's what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's what they're doing. And you had some other people, what Wendy Rogers. Oh, by the way, she's one of the races that you want to look at. They didn't use the algorithm on her. Treasurer Wendy Rogers and your inspector or your mine guy. They never use the algorithm on them, so you
So
have pure.
they're the baseline figures, right?
They Carrie Lake crushed them,
Yeah.
absolutely crushed them.
But what I
And
mean
it's a
what I
mathematical
mean by
formula.
baseline figures is that you have a standard of comparison for other races.
Yeah, well, that's one of them. But the other part of it is you can use the algorithm in reverse if you know the whole numbers, and they give you the whole numbers, so. When you'll figure that out, you can use various numbers of algorithms, and you can determine how they. And you also get their vote. This is the thing. You have two values. You have a baseline value, which of course are your whole numbers, and then their values, which is the values that they determine what people won by. Well, what closes the gap to tell you the truth is the algorithm, and you just calculate the algorithm. Now, some of these algorithms, they are people. Michigan, when they did Michigan, took 50 hours. Run it 50 hours,
Why?
but our people were the ones. We came out and announced about the 299,000 votes you guys couldn't come up with. We're saying there's something in our algorithm is telling us there's a missing 299,000 votes in the whole system. Then lo and behold, shocking, it was 298,000. We were off a little bit, but you know, it's almost laughable once you start realizing.
You know what was amazing to me is I watched the public comment of Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, and they had three election officials there that I personally saw. And they described the disenfranchisement of Republican voters and how bad it was and how they mishandled everything. And then all you heard from Chairman Bill Gates, your 2 minutes are up.
Your time is up.
Yeah. And here you got people on the other side testifying there was cheating.
Oh, everybody was. Yeah, no, this is California. And I'm really surprised. I'm sure. They're even having public comment. You know, that's an amazing thing. You've noticed that all these public officials that are corrupted are retreating, not coming out in public. They don't want to. They shorten time. They put up plexiglass. They get on Zoom meetings. They'd rather be there. They don't come out in public. They hide. Katie Hobbs hid. You know, there's no debating. In fact, what's happening, the phenomenon here, which is the phenomenon out there too, is that the candidates spend any money on being a candidate campaign, and the bottom line is, why should they know they're going to win?
You
the
mean
fix is in.
They didn't get the FTX money?
Some of them did. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you have any information on that?
Oh yeah. FTX is a very interesting situation because many of these people were bought off. Or some of them got a lot of donations, as an example. I could name a couple people that got a lot of donations, and they converted those donations into FTX cryptocurrencies, and they got hammered. You got some nonprofit organizations that found themselves in that little category.
You know, but, you just stroked a memory in me here. Didn't Karen Fan, the incompetent and illegitimate leader of the Arizona fraudit, to look at the 2020 election?
Right.
Didn't she hand off control of crypto at the state level to Wendy Rogers?
Yeah. Oh, shocking. Wendy Rogers. Yes.
I'm not going to make any allegations. I'm just pointing out that's interesting.
Well, they didn't run the algorithm either against her. That's another thing. Listen, this is all math. It can be proven. It can be proven. This is To use the algorithms on the numbers, 100% approves the election fraud. It proves it. 100%. You know, we have not had one of our numbers refuted by anybody. And in fact, when we present them to the people that really, not all county clerk reporters know their numbers, by the way. But when we present the numbers to the ones we think know the numbers, or they may be bragging about something, and we present the numbers to them, every single one is resigned in 3 days. 3 days, Dave. We have this goes to the declarations that we've been doing for the last 2 years. We have about 50,000 declarations out right now on people, and the effects have been staggering, because now we, after this election cycle, we have one county in which there's only one county supervisor still standing. The other ones all decided to resign or retire. Nobody ran for office again. We have a school board up in Calaveras County in which within a week after being served the declarations, three board members resigned. One left town and left the state within a week.
What were they guilty of, in your opinion?
Violation of oath of office is the basic one.
So specifically, what did they typically do? When you say violate oath of office, what do you mean?
Well, you know, what they were doing was harming children, as an example, because they were socially distancing them and put masks on them. They took money, you know, they took the COVID money. County supervisors are notorious. They got the COVID money and they immediately gave themselves raises. So that was pretty easy. But, you know, any type of child endangerment policies, other things that they were doing, if they were doing something that was towards the parents, as an example, which is a violation of Ed Code sections and Penal Code section, we would note that. and we would make them in the declaration prove it or disprove it. And they had 10 days to respond, and most of them would just pull us off. Attorneys, I just love it. Their county council was telling them, don't worry about these guys from New California. It's no big deal. Are you kidding me? You know how many people, I'm telling you, I'm going to go down a list here. I don't have it in front of me right now, so I probably shouldn't, but we have hundreds of people that were in office before the declaration are now gone. Reshaped this whole state at this point. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue. We're not done. Oh, no. No, we're not done. We are absolutely not done. We have our convention coming up this week, of course, and we're going to, Laura Logan's going to be there, and we're going to be doing this whole thing with the declarations again afterwards after we get done with the convention. But I really fear what's going to be happening in this month. I really do. I'm really not happy with the Ruskies down there. Now, you've talked for a long time about the Russians being down there.
And the Chinese. There's Chinese influence there, too, because of the weapons disbursement to the cartels.
Dave, you got Chinamen all over the place.
I know.
They're buying, the cartels are buying up homes and cash. And according to reports that I get, that as the Chinese are in homes, they never come out. Lots of Chinese, and there's a lot of military types in the Navajo Indian Reservation. I don't know what that's about. No, that's a little concerning, isn't it?
Well, they're doing the same thing in British Columbia. Peter Annette has covered that with Sarah Westall. And really, it's they may have as many as 200,000 troops
right.
on reservation land in upper British Columbia.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
What's the answer?
Well, the answer is we better start wising up what's going on.
Scary. This is frightening beyond belief.
Well, you know, I'm not going to be afraid of it. We're Americans, and we're going to stand on this, and we're going to stop this. We're going to do the things we need to do, and we need to call it out. You know, Dave, you and I have been doing this calling out business on this crap for, 12 years? And, you know, when we get on it, we get on it, and they don't like it. I don't care. They don't like it. They don't like the heck what I'm doing. I don't give a damn. You know, I'm an American, and I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to stand on this ground. This is my ground, not theirs. And we're going to put them in their place, and we're going to get rid of them. And we're going to do the things legally, constitutionally, to get rid of them. It's going to happen. It's happening right now. All we need to do is continue the pushback on certain key places, especially down there in Maricopa County. But I think that you guys really standing up as a new state will just shake the crap out of things. And that's exactly what is, you know, you got this whole declaration business and things like that. We can talk about that later. But there needs to be a team of people that are going to take back your state. And I know you have patriots there that will take back your state. Right now they've rolled over and just gave it over to them because some of them have been advised improperly. I got to tell you, I'm getting real close at exposing these people that are acting like saints, but they're, of course, working for the other side. And we're getting close on some of that here in California. It's the same people in California as it is in Arizona. But we've decided to serve the declarations, and, of course, you guys did not. It's now time to get some of these people to start serving. I'm telling you, once you get a county committee up and running, and they serve their first few affidavits on people, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. They're going to see it. And they're going to go, oh, my God, why didn't we do this sooner?
The formula for the affidavits, you get 100 citizens to sign an affidavit and then give it to a sheriff?
Yeah.
Wouldn't most liberal sheriffs just throw the affidavits in the trash?
Yeah, to their own demise, because if you find them that they're doing that, you serve them with affidavits.
Is that illegal to do what they're doing?
Absolutely, it's illegal. It's a crime.
Hmm.
They're committing a crime. And here's the beauty of this. We're persistent in New California. We've been doing this now 2 years. You know, at the convention in 2018, in San Luis Obispo, it must have been 2020. No, 2021 is when it was. That's right. After the election. And I stood there on the last day of the election. I said, we have 2 months. We have 2 months to do declarations and to do them right. Now, we are already doing declarations. We're having sporadic success with them. And then I said, we have to do this and get this up and running. And we did. That was in May. And on June 1st, we served our first declaration to a county clerk reporter. His name is Tommy Gong out of San Luis Obispo.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
We showed him his numbers. And 3 days later, he resigned. He resigned. He didn't go take another job down in Contra Costa because he wanted to. Oh, no. He was forced out because he resigned. And now we know the whole tip of the iceberg. There's so much that we've got just from that one. That was just the first one. And then, of course, we just take it off like gangbusters. Now, that can happen in Arizona, Dave. Listen, it's so wide open for some of these people. And, you know, Gates, get a bunch of people from Maricopa, serve this son of a bitch. His 200, you get 200 people to serve on him. You got other people to serve on Katie Hobbs. She's violator. Hey, she laughed at the Constitution the other day. She laughed at the Constitution because she was trying to take a secret oath. You know, getting up there as the governor and saying the oath of office does not mean you're saying an oath of office to the secret society. Hell, you got the citizens of Arizona who have every right to see that publicly. But they did not show it. No, they're trying to keep this governor thing quiet. Yeah, why? Because we stole it. we don't want any more. Just you guys go away now. Go away, Dave.
Why would she do a secret swearing in?
It's because this is communism, and the communists do this at every place that they take over. They take their elected leaders and officials and they isolate them. So that basically what you're listening to is the media and pronouncements that come out from the bureaucracy. That's what it is. So leaders that are elected are minimized. It's the minimization of elected leaders. That's what they want. Because elected leaders, like elected sheriffs, they have powers like a sovereign sheriff. I mean, listen to Coach Mac. Listen to me. listen to Mac. You know, Mac and I are 100% in agreement on this. He's the only guy in the nation actually running around doing this stuff. But a sovereign sheriff has his sovereignty over his county. He is the boss. The county clerk recorder is the boss, and even though she's elected. But she's not the boss. The county supervisors are not the boss. Hell, the president of the United States is not the boss in his county, nor the governor. He is the boss. That's what they have to get rid of, Dave, is that idea. And that's what they've been trying to do like crazy. And that's why Soros has been going after DAs and sheriffs. That's the story. Eliminate sovereignty. You know, the founding fathers knew you had to have some basis in law enforcement. And they knew that somebody had to be a sovereign. So they said that, well, you could have senators that are sovereigns to your state. You could have, you know, sheriffs. You can have sovereigns to your entire county, excuse me. Supervisors are not sovereigns to the entire county. They're sovereigns to a district within the county. I don't know where this Gates clown comes off. He acts like he owns the whole county of Maricopa. Bull crap. He doesn't. He has no sovereignty over the county. Your sheriff does. Your district attorney does.
Did I tell you?
Be investigated by your sheriff, by the way.
Did I ever tell you I know Gates?
Yeah, I know you know.
It's an interesting story, but he's just living proof of what happens when you're in politics and you sell out to the dark side.
Oh, they're all sold out, Dave. And this is all provable stuff.
Well, I know on the Maricopa County Board, I don't know about all the members, but I know some are controlled by Soros and China.
Right. Well, that's what we have out here. I could run down and tell you that people that are sold out to China. What about McCarthy? Hello? You know,
who do you think owns McCarthy the most? And FTX is one. Who else?
Well, I think he's got a Chinese connection going on there. Some of these guys have Chinese connections that are limited to and not a part of the Communist Party per se, but ventures in China. I understand that. I get that. That are solid than the other side. The other side doesn't necessarily believe in communism, as you know, like in Taiwan and stuff. But the ones in which they require minders, they always have 24/7 surveillance. That's called you're beholden to them, and they are. Most of them out here, like California, are beholden to not just the Chinese communists, but also to their cartel friends that run the election system. So it's whoever they are beholden to. You can look first of all at the election system that brought them there. Who provided support for them. Soros is a common thing with the district attorneys and sheriffs to try to knock them off. You know, they spent $3 million on Joe Pyle to get rid of him, to get in Paul, what's his name? Your sheriff over there in Maricopa now. But anyway,
they got Paul him. Penzone.
Penzone, right, Penzone. So, almost everybody, every Democrat has some connection to China. Some have more of a connection to the cartels. You know, like your Secretary of State has more connection to the cartels. But the cartels and the Chinese work together. Look at the fentanyl. We're just murdering our kids with guys, you know, like these clowns that are being brought in by the communist Chinese and also the cartels and Soros. It's amazing to me. Fentanyl does kill. It does kill. We had a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, had a mother that died just about 6 weeks ago. And it really hits home. But this is all over California now.
Short of a revolution, what options are there? Let's lay it out, because we've kind of gotten over it, but let's make it specific now before we close.
I think a big effort, people need to rally. I know they say, well, the election's over. BS. You know, one of the things that we learned in the New California State Movement, this is a movement that never ends. This is an election that never ends. And so people right now, the state does not know what to do with us. In other words, we're out there campaigning for New California. Isn't it December, January, February? That's kind of an option, right? But we're out here being a fake. They have to answer to us, Dave. We have so many people in so many counties that are going out and making their people answer to them. They hate it. Well, I'm sorry. You hate, you know, us being in charge of you? That's the way it's supposed to be. So we're winning that race. And everybody needs to win that race. People need... This Lou Holtz, I used to love Lou Holtz. You know, he always came in, you know, if he was losing at halftime, the number one thing he always said, well, it's gut check time.
Yeah.
How many times do you tell your kids that? It's gut check time, you know. And it is. It's gut check time. Let's get after it. You have to have the right tools. The tools are in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. And you've got plenty of tools to pull from, especially with the oath of office. And we're going to have to see how that works out tomorrow. I think that it's going to be difficult to recover. What we will know, and I'm going to put this out there, what we will know is that these people really are corrupt. And that means the whole judicial system is done. So we have to think about how we're going to change that constitutionally.
Yeah, because where's your recourse if you can't count on judges?
Well, you know, make a new state. Just don't have any impact on the state, Dave. Making it. Neither does the executive branch. Make a new state. Make your own judges. Select your own governor. Appoint it, and later on for it. And, you know, they'll go along with it in the Senate and the Congress. They'll go along with it.
Let's go backwards for a second here with the court case. What is it that you're alleging in your filing?
Well, we're not alleging anything. We've got two court cases. One is still in sort of an abeyance. That was the one that we filed originally in December of 2020. The court never heard it. We made them have a hearing on it in September. Hello, September? And it had to deal with January 5th County. So it's never been heard on the merits. They dismissed it after they heard our arguments that they were crap in the pants. We knew that. The body language is very obvious. So we know we have a part of the case that goes on with Brunson. We also have another case right now in which we're suing the county of Sacramento and Shirley Weber, Gavin Newsom, over retroactive payments to the Dominion people for Dominion machines. They should never have made the payments, and they point to open fraud. So they are scurrying around. That's that case. And then there, of course, is the amicus, which is with Brunson. If Brunson gets through and they have to have a hearing, the shit will hit the, will hit the fan. Absolutely, it will hit the fan. And that's our time to come in with our stuff. That's our time to see how strong they're going to come back behind the oath of office and support it, so that everybody who does say the oath of office is a firm, as somebody who has authority authority over their own jobs, they can faithfully execute that while doing it. But if they don't, then that'll just create another problem. And the other problem is how we can fix the judiciary, which is runaway. I think you have some Supreme Court justices actually who want to do the right thing. They're conflicted because they've got these problems, like Justice Roberts. But this offers them an out to take up the Brunson case, to do the right thing, and get our oath of office back in shape. It'll also mean, probably, if they go along with the second part of it, which is it was a violation, they should have listened. People straighten out the problem, then there could be another election. And you'll see the removal of Joe Biden. Come on. That will happen.
Well, I dream for that, but I'll tell you, I know it's a stretch.
Right. If everything goes right, that's the way it should go. But once again, you coach what you're doing here. When it's coming down to it, you're sitting there thinking, geez, I'm down by a lot. How am I going to change it at the very end? I got a minute. I got 2 minutes. Maybe at that, how can I make that ball go through the hoop? And sometimes God just takes over and it happens. And you've experienced that. I've experienced that. You know how that whole thing works. We're in that moment of the game. And I believe my faith in God is going to carry us to the right hoop. And we're going to go through the hole. And we're going to win. And it's a pre thing. I think we have now the necessary tools. I really thought it was hysterical. I watched in absolute hysteria. We covered it pretty much wall to wall on the AEN network that we've got going on here. And I thought Donald Trump's command of the whole situation with the selection I forgot his name. It's California guy, McCarthy.
Yeah, McCarthy.
I thought it was hysterical. And of course, he used Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and others to kind of orchestrate something. McCarthy, he's not well liked in Kern County, Bakersfield. They hate him there. They hate him. And I can say that unequivocally. They have posters up, they have billboards up talking about how it's get rid of McCarthy, vote him out, blah blah blah.
But he keeps getting reelected.
Well, he gets selected. Out here, you don't get elected in California. It's fraudulent. You get selected. And so they had to gerrymander his zone, his congressional district this year. And of course, they based upon the 2020 census. And when they gerrymandered it, it pushed Devin Nunes completely out of his area. So McCarthy got all the conservatives of Devin Nunes, and Nunes moved on to a very, very strong, never win. So that's why he kind of became part of the state.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned you have a convention. Again, tell people, in case they want to and they're able to attend, how they can attend and how they can follow your good work.
Well, go to newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com, and sign up for the convention if you want to go. Learn about everything that's going on in the convention. It's going to be at the Anaheim Sheraton in Southern California. Major breakthrough that we're going to Southern California, or in Orange County in particular, Anaheim.
Yeah, that's surprising. That really is surprising.
Did it for a reason, and we're shifting things up with what New Californiastate is designed to do.
Yeah.
We also have Laura Logan will be one of the speakers. We're going to be teaching people about what we're doing, like with the declarations and the affidavits and all this stuff. so you can get your own state up and running. But we also have constitutional responsibilities that are going to be going on in during the whole convention. But come out, have a general meeting at the end of the day, and that is going to consider things that we're doing for.
And Paul, we are flat out of time. I'm glad you got to get that across. I want to thank you for coming on. Thank you for what you're doing. And we'll stay in touch on this issue and have you back as circumstances dictate.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.